You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray, and I'm Monique Leray, and we're back. I'm in my home studio. It's almost perfect. I just have to work on the, you know, the small details, the glares. When I have my sunnies, you guys know I like to wear my sunnies in my interviews. So we're working on that. We're working on this. But I'm so glad to be back for our third season. We've got some amazing, talented people on our show today. So I want to get right into it. I'm going to try to find the right angle. Want to just thank everyone that was in attendance to the Gifting Suite last weekend. It was amazing. Lots of talent in the room. A lot of startup businesses really were stepping up and making those connections to further their business. And thank you so much for everyone that supported and came out. And the new location was amazing in Beverly Hills. And we will get to the next event, which will be in January for the Golden Globes. If anyone wants to attend, we'll talk about that. But first off, I would like to start the show off with an amazing guest. She's calling in all the way from Berlin, Germany right now. So it's about almost 1 o'clock, or it is 1 o'clock. Claudia Clark, our author here of Dear Barack. Claudia, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for staying up late and, you know, drinking coffee with us and joining us here in LA.
Thanks for having me. I moved from California to Berlin. So I do miss the Bay. I was the Bay Area, but I do miss the area.
Absolutely. I know I mentioned that, you know, you're an author, and I want you to kind of just, you know, intro a little bit about yourself. Tell the audience about who you are. You said that you lived in the Bay, but I know you started elsewhere. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a fourth generation political social activist. I was born and raised in Michigan, and then my husband and I were married in Michigan. And the very last thing I did in Michigan before we moved to California was get married. We lived in Southern Cal for a little while, and then we moved in 1999 to the Bay Area, which I just absolutely fell in love with. And I have worked on various political campaigns, social justice campaigns, ranging for women's reproductive rights, which is something very, very important to me. I've worked on school board measures. I've volunteered with other progressive causes. I played in the San Francisco gay and lesbian band as an ally. So I'm all into different social justice organizations and groups.
Wow, wonderful! And I did catch that intro from your book and your background, and kind of, you know, it's interesting how things kind of are teed up for us in our childhood, you know, or we see our parents or someone significant that we were growing up with do something, and it leaves an imprint on us. So why don't we delve into that? You're like the third generation of activists and entrepreneurs in your family, right?
Yeah, my great-grandmother marched for women's suffrage. My grandfather was a union steward in a paper factory in Michigan, and my mother was a very, very gifted linguist, and she taught French on three different continents, and she answered Kennedy's call to action and joined the Peace Corps, and then before I was born, and then from the time I was, I don't know, 14 or 15, she dragged me to protests and rallies and demonstrations, everything from women's reproductive rights to union organizing events. I was there from the time I was 15 years old. So before I was even old enough to vote, I was out in the streets protesting.
Yes, yes. And I think, you know, it's really interesting. Now, guys, I've got to tell you, this is Claudia's first book. Okay. She got this idea, was planted in her head years before. So, you know, the things that are in our lives around us can sometimes inspire us for future action, future success, okay? So Claudia's intro was really, really interesting. And I want you to know, when it says Dear Barack, you know, we're not a political show here. We're about entrepreneurship and startups. And she is an entrepreneur and an author. But, you know, don't let the title fool you, okay? If you lean in the middle, if you lean to the right, if you lean wherever the heck you lean, dive into this book, because what she's highlighting is a very important time in both of these countries' histories being the first female chancellor, Angela Merkel, and the first black president in the United States, coming so far from where we began, right? I mean, Claudia, I'll let you kind of tell us, but wow, just what a relationship.
Yeah. Just to piggyback on what you just said, this book is a political book per se, but it's more of a relationship. It's more of a book about the relationship between two political leaders. So yes, I do have to divulge and talk about politics and policy a little bit, but it's more of the relationship. You don't have to like or agree with anything either one of these two candidates did or said or believed to get something out of the book. So I just kind of want to put that out there. I think the telling part about this book is that the relationship between Obama and Merkel didn't start off on the best of terms. Mm-hmm. Obama, as much as I respect Obama, he did have a little bit of an ego, and Merkel kind of caught on to that. And she was the one person in the world that really didn't cater to him. He was an up-and-coming rock star, so to speak. And Obama wanted to speak before the Brandenburg Gate in 2008, and Merkel said no. And Obama didn't take kindly to someone telling him no. So there's this hostility between the two of them from the beginning. But during the 8 years that they worked together, the very final trip Obama made to Europe, he stopped in Berlin, and Merkel cried when she said goodbye to Obama for the final time. And then in January, the day before Obama officially left office, the final phone call he made to anyone was the German chancellor. So what this book does is it traces how two world leaders who were very skeptical of one another, how we went from point A to point B. And I trace all the highs and lows of not just their relationship, which I think is important, but more important, especially I think in today's globalized world and how polarized we are, is the two of them did not get along on a lot of issues. They had just disagreements on many key important issues. But
I read about that. Sam, go full screen for a moment while Claudia talks. I'm having let's have her get the moment, please. Okay. Full screen on Claudia for me. Sorry, Claudia.
So the important thing was they had differences of opinion on important policy issues, predominantly in economics. Merkel was the chair of the center right party in Germany, so sort of like the Republican Party, but not quite, because the party system is a little different in Europe. But she was more center right, more conservative than Obama, center left. And so they had major differences of opinion on a lot of things, primarily economic issues. Nevertheless, both of them were pragmatic enough and knew how important it was for them to put their differences aside and work together, not just for the United States and Germany, but the United States, the rest of the EU, and the rest of the world as leaders of two of the largest economies in the world. And so because they were pragmatic and they learned to work together and knew that they had to, that's when they were able to form the friendship on a personal level that they were able to.
You know, I love that. And it's so important to highlight, you know, those things. And for people who are looking to start writing, I mean, this fostered in your mind for a while. I even read, before we get too far down, you know, Claudia, guys, Claudia's kind of an amazing woman. I have, you know, I kind of highlighted my notes with these little stickies. But, you know, Claudia, you actually, before you wrote this book and you dove right on in, you had some accomplishments yourself around town, right? Around your hometown in Lansing. They have a day in your honor. Is that right?
That is true. When, like I mentioned earlier, one of the last things, I graduated from Michigan State in May of 1995. My husband and I were married in July of 1995, and then we went on our honeymoon, and then we moved to California. So in the months between when I graduated in May and July, the local Democratic Party the mayor put forth a declaration, and they declared a day, a Claudia Clark day, because of everything I had done in the community since I had been in high school and all through college, things I had worked on trying to get recycling programs in the schools and staging protests and walkouts against book banning in the schools and that kind of thing. So it was a proclamation, and I had a plaque for it. And unfortunately, I have moved so many times. That's the one thing I do not still have. But
yes, yeah, I've lost some things in moves before that were quite important to me. And I understand that. But the achievement is still there. Guys, happy Claudia Clark Day. What day is it, by the way?
It was June 15th, 1995. So it was just, it was a one-time, yeah, it was a one-time deal. It's not an annual thing. So let's just put it in.
Hey, I want a day. I want a proclamation. That's awesome. That's, you know what, a huge achievement. But it kind of brings back to my point, like all these little breadcrumbs in our careers, in our lives, you know, that lead up to something like a moment. Like this is a huge accomplishment. She moved to across the Atlantic. That had been something in your mind, in the back of your mind, that you know you wanted to do. You had family in Germany, and the opportunity to write this and to kind of bridge those two worlds together. You sent your manuscript less than a year later across the Atlantic, right? 250 pages. I mean, this is quite an accomplishment. I'm just really, really impressed. So where can people pick this up, by the way?
You can go to my website, which is ClaudiaClarkAuthor.com, and there's a link where you can find it from my publisher, or you can go to the ISBN is on there, so you can go to your local bookstore and have them order it. Or it's available in Amazon as well, for people that prefer Amazon. But your local bookstore, if you prefer to shop locally or small, can certainly order it for you.
Lovely, lovely. And you know, we had Claudia as a part of our gifting suite festivities. We made some bookmarks. We still have a few. I mean, we made a lot more than when we needed, but those were really popular. They had the QR codes on them. So guys, if you go to our Cap Aquarius Media page, at Cap Aquarius Media, if you follow me there, you'll see photos of the book and the QR code, so you can order your copy, because we want to help her sell out. I think that this book is going to be a fast read for me. I'm almost there.
And I'm humbled by the reviews I'm getting on both sides of the Atlantic. I've got an a 4.6 rating on Goodreads and a 4.7 on Amazon. So I'm getting very, very positive reviews. So
wow. What's the time frame, Claudia, to get on the New York bestselling? I know that there's a couple bestselling lists that authors often want to aspire to be on.
You know, I couldn't give you an answer to that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we want to send you energy, and thank you for staying awake so late and sharing this with us. And what is your next project? Can you leak any clues about what's coming?
I'm doing a lot of things right now. But book-wise, I'm researching. I'm fascinated with the Berlin Wall. It's always been a big fascination of mine. And I just earlier this year, we were in Ireland on vacation, and there were parts of Ireland, Northern Ireland, during the 1980s, during the IRA scandals, issues, problems, that were separated by walls, Protestants on one side, Catholics on another. And so I'm researching, and concerning writing a book, comparing and contrasting people that were in Germany that were separated by the wall that the communist government put up, their lives and circumstances, and comparing that to the people in Ireland that were separated by a wall based upon their religious differences, how their lives were similar, how they were different. Yeah. So I don't know. This is a huge learning curve, because I don't know too much about Irish history. So I've got a lot of books that I'm researching. So it'll take a lot more time than this book took. I can say that much for sure.
Well, I'm loving how, you know, entrepreneurs like yourself are constantly putting themselves and challenging themselves. I think that only the best is going to come out of that. And I'm looking forward to reading your next thing and having you involved and supporting you in any way we can. And, you know, hopefully we'll be on another level as well. And I think you have a piece of the wall, don't you have it? As a souvenir?
I do. I, you know, wow. I, It's downstairs, though. I would show it to you. But yeah, I was in Germany, in Berlin in 1990. I was 17 years old. And we made a trip to Berlin, and there were still parts of it that were up. And you could chip it. And I chipped two pieces. I chipped, and then one piece I kept for myself. And then before we moved to Germany, I donated the other piece that I chipped off to the local special collections library where I used to work when I was an undergrad at Michigan State.
Wow, guys, we're witnessing the birth of a great author, a titan in helping people with their rights and fights. Claudia Clark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. All right, you guys, more from the show today. I've got Deanne and Agnes coming next if they're in the wings, Sam. All right, Deanne from Amour Cachet Lingerie. Hi, Deanne, how are you?
Hi.
Good, I'm glad to see you. You know what, we're making a trek from the Atlantic, from Berlin. Now we're on the East Coast with yep. Deanne. And then we'll be coming back to Cali with our next guest. But Deanne, tell everybody your name. Tell us about your brand. Give us an introduction, will you?
Sure. So my name's Deanne. I'm one of the co-founders and creative directors for Amour Cachet. And what we do is we're a lingerie company, and we try to be as inclusive as possible. So initially when we started, we really wanted to be size inclusive, but during our production cycle, my co-founder Agnes had discovered that she had breast lumps. And so it made us think of what would happen if we as lingerie lovers had breast cancer. And that kind of spurred us into figuring out how we would be more inclusive in our lingerie line for not just breast cancer survivors, but now we're trying to expand into nursing bras and beyond that. So eventually we really want to cover as many spectrums as possible for what a woman might encounter in her life.
Wow. Talk about like a brand birth story like that. I mean, out the gate, I think you were lucky enough to get your vision very clear right away. Wouldn't you say? I mean, for a startup, that's pretty amazing.
So yeah, we got lucky in terms of Agnes is fine now. It ended up being kind of a hormonal thing that was induced by the pills that she was taking, just birth control pills that she was taking and things like that. But we, as part of our like Instagram and everything, we kind of encourage people to be really aware of their breasts and like take precautions and things like that. So I think we did get really lucky in terms of how we grew our brand and our story. And we're just kind of going from there.
I'm so glad that in that story that she's with us, and I took it for granted that she was okay because she's with us now, but I'm glad that that worked out to just being a hormonal issue. Ladies, you have to get yourself checked. We can't say that enough. Even, you know, even if you've waited so long, I had a friend wait so long and be so nervous to do it because they waited so long, but they were okay, you know? So that's important. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the, tell us about your process. You know, if there's someone out there that's looking to get into the fashion industry and the lingerie industry, undergarments, how, any startup tips that you really found helpful in the beginning?
Yeah, I actually was just talking to a friend who has her own clothing line, and I was telling her a couple of different things that I learned when we were starting up. And I think the most important thing for a fashion brand is to have a tech pack, which I think not many people when they're starting out know about. So a tech pack is basically a bunch of different documents put together, but it's essentially a bill of materials, which is all of the different materials that you're using, the sources that it's coming from. So whether your manufacturer is supplying it or if you're supplying it, the name of the supplier, the model number that you have, it gets very technical, but that's one aspect of it. Another aspect is it's called the bill of operations, which is essentially if you have a really complex garment like lingerie, it can be difficult to explain to the sewer how you would want it to be made. So you kind of give them a tutorial in a written form. So you kind of walk how it would be made. what materials come first, how you would lay it down, how you would sew it, and things like that. And then the top of it, I think, is like the types of stitches that you would use, which I think we overlook oftentimes as designers or as brand owners. But little technical things like that, I think, really accumulate over time. And it really frees up your time as a designer or creative director or whatever it is, so that you're not constantly looking over the shoulder of the sewer. And you can kind of just let them roam. But if you give them a really detailed pack of what you want, they'll be able to understand it in a universal way. So, yeah, I
Wow.
was.
That's very, very helpful. I know detailed as well, because if you're stepping into, and it's a time-saving thing, like you said, you don't have to keep repeating or keep sharing. You just have it ready. And I know nothing about the fashion industry except for I support it with my money, but I don't know anything about it really. But that sounds like a time saver. And as a startup, you need that. You need to, every minute of your day is important. Wow. So how did you become so interested in this lane? I know, Deanne, you and I have private talks about a different industry that we're working on together, that we will reveal at some point. But how did you get into this lane? How did you meet Agnes?
So Agnes and I met when we were in college,
Yes, you did mention.
in orientation, and I think we just connected on being interested in fashion, but we were also both business students. And I always had a background. I was raised by a mom who was very into the fashion industry, and she herself had businesses in fashion. And I learned to sew from a very young age, but I remember being a part of the Fashion and Retail Association at our school. And we really wanted to be a part of it, but when I realized how involved it was, I kind of got a little bit nervous. But I think like my counterpart, Agnes, was pretty brave. And she, even though she didn't know how to sew or anything, she said we should go for it. And I had designs and everything in my back pocket. She had nothing, no technical, nothing, but she just put her foot forward and she was like, we should do it. And so I think that was our first foray into designing and, like sewing and everything. And we built our technical skills from there. Took a couple different courses to kind of get better at what we were doing. And then we naturally just fell into a passion for lingerie. Like whenever we traveled, we would try to go to different boutiques. And we started between the two of us, like we saw that we were wearing the wrong bra size. And then from there, we realized what our right bra size was, which 85 or 80% of American women apparently are wearing the wrong bra size.
Ah.
And then we started realizing what looked better on different breast types, like her breast shape and my breast shape. And I think it kind of evolved from there to becoming, a culmination of like our fashion interests and business that we've learned from school.
That's, very important that you highlight that, and I'm loving your startup story, your background, and your why, and kind of the fact that you dual. You bring both bring something different and strengths, like you're like, let's just, I got the way, I've got the idea. She's like, let's just go for it. She had the boldness in the beginning. Now you both do because you're doing it. So the importance of the design, the sampling, the fit process, let's talk about the fit for a minute, because you did mention that some of us ladies wear the wrong size. I gave up. I just wear sports bras now. If I have like a shirt, I mean, and I'm not living large, so if I need, if I have a meeting, I've just got like a little skinny girl or whatever. I gave up, Deanne. Maybe you'll get me back into bras, but they're so darn uncomfortable. I mean, come on.
So, aside from the tech pack, sampling and getting your fit models and everything is a really big part of it. So I would say the way that we do it is we do one sample first, and I do it on myself because I know what fits good on me. And I'm like the initial fit model. So we make sure that it fits good, all the stitching is okay, the materials are good, the color is good. And then from there, once we approve that, we go into what we call a fit line. So we select a couple different sizes, and we normally like we do common sizes, but we also want to go lower in the scale and then upper in the scale. So we will do like, let's say we start from a 30 all the way to a 40 band size. So we might want to alternate. Like we'll take a 30, we'll take a 32, we'll take a 36, we'll take a 40, for example. And we'll take a cut size from each of those band sizes. We'll find a good fit model that actually is that size. Like we'll size her accordingly and then make sure that the bra fits properly on her so there's no overflow. There's a bunch of different things in lingerie that you would want to look for. So there's no like severe gaping in the cups. The band fits her properly. It's not riding up on her back. The straps working okay. They're actually functional. Things like that. So yeah, there are a couple of different things that you look for, but essentially we fit the bras on these women. We make sure that it fits well. But aside from that, especially when we're going into specialty bras like post-mastectomy bras or nursing bras, we have the models wear it for the whole day. So I think that's super important. It's like one of the major things that I would recommend for entrepreneurs going into fashion is you want to make sure that your stuff is comfortable and you want to make sure that it's actually wearable. It's not just something that they're going to put on for a little bit and then be like, yeah, I can't wait to get out of this.
Oh, that's a good tip. Yeah, I don't think Christian Louboutin got the message. Shout out to Christian Louboutin because I can't wear those shoes. I'm not paying that much to be that uncomfortable. Sorry, guys. Red bottoms once and done.
Exactly. Especially like me myself, I've never nursed before, but we had several conversations with women who did nurse or are nursing currently, and the fit model that we chose is actually nursing. So at the time of we had her wear it the whole day and make sure that it was comfortable on her. Like we're not going to release something if it's not fully comfortable, if it's not wearable, if it doesn't fit right. That's just not something that we're going to do. So I would
Because
say,
you're putting your energy and your name behind it, and you want your customers to feel good and think of this was a thoughtful add to my life. I mean, this is you live in the garments, and I love that you're poignant about the certain niches in the lingerie business that we need to really pay attention to. You know, I never thought about that. Someone coming out of cancer treatment and needing a special support or maternity, you know, that's good for you. I think you're going to be one of the, I mean, you know your competition sector, right? I mean, it's not very high, I would say, I would imagine, right? I mean, what's that look like for you guys?
When we first, it wasn't as competitive. Like we really wanted to be the first brand that was known like throughout all households that did that was support you through all your walks of life. So regardless of like whether you start off as a single woman, you end up getting pregnant, or whatever form like walks of life that you go through, we really wanted to be that steady like constant in your life. But I think people are starting to catch on, like big brands like Victoria's Secret are starting to catch on to the importance of that, and so they're starting to like make their foray into those realms. But at the same time, I think it's different. Like they might have a few different colors and like one or two styles, but we really want to, like, that's part of our core from the beginning. I would say, like, we do stand out. We make luxury pieces that don't cost an insane amount of money. So we try to keep our prices like reasonable given the materials that we use and the designs that we go for and things like that. But yeah, we really, that was part of our DNA from the beginning, and I would hope that that continues to be the case, you know?
I love that. And so you have it, we have about a minute and a half left, but you have an e-magazine and people can also go online and order your garments. And I love that idea of sticking with people through their lifetime needs and it changes. That's building a value and building a relationship, and that's smart. Where can people find the e-magazine and where can people order?
So people can order and find our e-magazine kind of in the same place. It's on our website at www.amour-cachet.com. And we also do have buyers across the US currently and one in Australia. So we have two out in New York currently in CPW on the Upper West Side, and then Lilies and Lace at Armonk, New York. And if you're also interested and you're in Mass, we have two places that will be carrying us shortly. So one is in Cambridge at 40 Winks, another at Amherst, Art of Intimates, which is carrying us now. And then in Texas, we're also going to be featured at Laura Lingerie. But in any case, if you're anywhere and you need help with sizing and you're trying to look for us, we're online at Amore Cachet.
We love that. And we're going to be finding you to come to California soon. We're working on that with the boys from Beverly Hills. Shout out to Patrick Simpson and Paula, too, and Gown and Out. And got to get you to Laguda. Deanne, thank you for being here.
So much.
See you soon. Be well. All right, you guys. I have one more guest. I'm so excited because now I get to have a snack. Is Kelly here?
Kelly, I am. Hi, please have a snack. Hello.
I know. Well, you know what? I have a visual snack, and you've got the actual kit there. This is Kelly from Kara Kit. Hi. Kelly, introduce yourself. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. My startup is a company that really was, I was inspired to do this through cancer treatment in 2020. But I was seeing all the beautiful gifts that were coming that I was so thankful to have friends and family provide. It was flowers and food baskets and all kinds of great stuff that I couldn't eat and could barely use. And I just thought, wow, why isn't someone putting this together of the things that someone needs during these processes, along with the desire of their friends and family to help them? So that's what we do. We have some core kits for chemo, radiation, and surgery. And those have, you know, we came about the product lists from interviews and actual research from a bunch of women who have gone through this themselves and have some incredible stories and things that, you know, you really wouldn't know unless you have gone through it yourself. So it's not just my experience, but there's a lot to learn from women's experiences.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I'm going to have you share a little bit more about how you cultivated the items in the box while I go get my box. And I'm going to have, I'm going to have Sam, our show producer, put you full screen. So take it away until I come back, Kelly. Okay.
Okay, great. Sounds good. So this began in 2020 with the idea that I just talked through. There are so many individual products that women need when they're going through something like this. You know, my favorite story is a very odd item that we'll see in just a second in Monique's box, but it is a lint roller. And this came through an interview that I had done with a woman who had had breast cancer about 7 years ago. And she was a hairstylist. She actually does the hair of, you know, the Progressive commercials, the flow. She does her hair for all the commercials. So anyway, I was talking to her and saying, listen, what was that one product that you needed? What if we're going to do these kits for women, what is that thing that has to go in every kit? And she said, a lint roller. I said, well, is that for shedding, you know, when you start losing your hair? Whenever I was going through it, I did a thing called a cold cap. When I was doing chemo, I would have lost my hair, but they have this new invention. I used one called a Digni cap, where they basically freeze your head. And if it's cold enough, the chemo drugs won't go to that spot. So I was able not to keep all of my hair, but most of it. So I was using that and I didn't have the experience of all of it coming out. And I said, well, is it for shedding whenever you have some of it coming up and not all of it? She said, no. I use it absolutely every day. I said, well, how is that? You don't even have any hair at a certain point. Cause you know, if you don't know what it's like going through chemo, you know, your hair starts coming out in clumps. And at a certain point you just have to shave it because otherwise you just have these big holes of hair. Right. So, So anyway, we put the lint roller in the box and it was actually the very first box. Oh, you have a sample box there. You didn't get the full box. No.
Okay. Oh no.
I'll tell you about the products that are inside of that for sure. But that is just a tiny sample box of one that we did for the Emmys. Yes.
Yes, we did Emmys Week Celebrity Cookies Week. People love this thing.
Oh, good.
So, and I have a friend, shout out to Lena Mulovinic. She's got that beautiful Eastern European name I cannot pronounce correctly. She is healing from cancer as we speak. And I gave her one and I knew that was directly. She gave you guys a shout out, actually. So walk us through. You're welcome.
Yeah, even these. So can I tell you the last bit of this lint roller story first before we go? No, don't worry. The lint roller story. So basically the first caricature I ever sent was to the wife of a guy I used to work with. I didn't know her. I saw her on Facebook and I sent it through. And I just told the story about a hairdresser who said, that's the one thing you have to have in every kit. So she said she had a really emotional day whenever she finally had to shave her head. She had two little girls. She was like, I was, you know, spending most of my time with the girls, you know, saying mom's going to, you know, not have any hair. And then it was trying to convince them not to shave their heads because they wanted to be like, mom, then I'm in the bathroom, my husband's shaving, I'm sobbing. And she said, you know, by the time I went to sleep that night, I was exhausted and I laid down on my pillow and it felt like needles were poking me in my head. And she said it was like the biggest insult to injury. And then she said, I remembered your kit. And of course, you know, the key to what we do is having instructions with each of the kits. So she's like, oh my God, I pulled out the email that you sent, why I needed to use this, what I should do. And I pulled out the lint roller. She said, I rolled it over my newly shaven head and I laid back down and no pain. And that was a piece of advice who had come from a hairdresser who said, that's the one thing that all women going through chemo need is a lint roller. She said, do it every day after you do the shave. You can put a hat on, you can put a wig on, whatever you need, but it takes away that pain. It takes away those little wispies that start growing in that are weird. And that's how we kind of approach everything. It's the practicalities of at-home comfort. Like you're in the doctor, like, first of all, doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners, they're the best. Everyone listen to them. Like do the hard work, right? They're the ones out there saving lives. But what we're doing is all of that little stuff, right? When you're at home and you're, you know, you're off of work, you know, and your kids are at school or whatever it is, and you're like, God, I feel like crap. Like what do I do? Like my nails are chipping and, you know, my skin is really dry. What you just pulled out is actually our Epsom salt with lavender. That actually adds back in magnesium back into your body. If you take a bath or even if you just soak your feet in it. So a lot of people swear by this. I did it, Epsom salt bath, probably it's nice, right? And you can do that now, right? It helps with muscle aches and other things. These are all basically over the counter items, but we put them together in a way that will really help people in a, you know, one-stop shop for all of it. And we do it in a way, and that is, you know, that brown box is not usually even what we do. We do all color inside and out. I almost want to set my, I'm going to see if I can set my screen to what we usually have it look like.
Here it is. That would be cool. Oh, look at that. She's fancy, so, y'all. She's
right,
fancy.
Right? We did. I was playing with it before. I was like, is it too much?
You got it. It's perfect.
That we have an illustrator that designs the boxes inside and out. This one, the chemo box, the artwork is like you're climbing a mountain on the outside and the inside of the box is beautiful color and it's like you're standing on the top. That's exactly what chemo is like, right? Just go in day after day, keep going. And so that's what we do because, you know, you need those little moments of joy also while you're going through it. Like, you know, you can't go out with your friends anymore. You can't, you know, do all of the same things. You're immunocompromised. I was going through it during COVID, but like on a regular day, like you can't do your life, you know, you feel like crap.
Wow.
So to get this box of just joyfulness and, you know, a mug and some tea and right. The sticker.
Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
And I love your passion, Kelly. And you know, you it sounds like you just put your ear to the ground, you cultivated the right things and you married it all into one place. And that's heartwarming in itself because you listened to people and you gave them something that they needed. And
everybody even my has, Lena, Go ahead, tell me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, even my friend Lena, when she got the box, she's like, wow, the elastic band.
Yes.
That stood out for her. So let's walk us through. Yes.
Yeah.
So
We put handwritten notes in all of the kits. My neighbor and my what I call her my guardian angel throughout chemo, she showed up every day. And to be honest, when people say, how can I help someone? I'm like, be there, give some time, right? Drop off dinner. Yeah. Don't expect anything back from them, right? They're in a tough time. Just try stuff. You know, send them a nice inspirational meme, right? Send them a text. Say, it just says, I love you and thinking about you and caring about you and don't expect anything back.
And so, don't expect you to do it because you want to. And speaking of that, their message to me is sending you love and light, love the Care Kit family. So, you know, even if you're, if you have a family or a single person going through this, it can be just nice to get a note. What else? You've got some cool things in here, Kelly. What's this? What we got going on? It looks like an ice pack.
Oh, it is an ice pack. So that's one sample. We usually put multiples in, but those are really good if you're recovering from any kind of surgery. Obviously, listen to your doctor first, but those go right in the freezer. They can go on small places. You can move them around. You can refreeze them. So we find those really helpful.
Love it. This looks cool.
Which, oh, that's tea leaves. We just find the teas are beautiful. They're delicious. Mm-hmm. And the artwork is so gorgeous that we just love sending them. Because it's if it's Earl Grey or lavender or chamomile. Yeah, we usually do decaffeinated ones, but just for calming. Oh, we love this. Poppy and Pout. Like yeah. Mm-hmm. We do a bunch of different flavors. We haven't tried one we haven't liked. They're just delicious. And, you know, hydrating, that's the key. You know, for chemo, radiation, and surgery, your body is just depleted of water. So we love, love, love making sure you have something in there to keep your lips hydrated, especially. And really, especially chemo, like everything starts to crack, right? Like, and I don't know if you know this, but like, you don't just lose the hair on your head. Like you lose your eyebrows, you lose your eyelashes. Like it's very weird. So like your eyes start watering more, your mouth is really dry. So it starts smelling bad. Like we put an oral rinse in there to make sure that it's actually maintaining moisture and that, you know, you can have teeth problems afterwards because of that. It's really rough.
Okay.
So that is an essential oil roller. This came from an interview I did with a woman who, you know, usually you do chemo once every 3 weeks or so. At least I did. You can do a variety of different, you know, some people take pills, some people do it more often, less often, but she had a very bad reaction the first time that she did chemo. And they said, you have to come in once a week. We have to give you small doses over a larger period of time. So she said, the one thing I would put in the kits would be an oil roller. Because she said, you know, you still wear a mask inside the doctor's offices. And she said, I was basically nauseous all the time because all the side effects of chemo would just stay there. So she would put the oil under her nose. She would put it exactly like you're doing it. Right. And she said, it actually helped me be able to re-enter the infusion centers and doctor's offices because it didn't smell like this, you know, thought I had in my head. Right. It smelled like a different and beautiful place. Right.
Changing her environment, changing your mental state. Loving that.
Yes.
These things are all, because you always see in the movies, I remember Samantha sucking on an icicle in Sex in the City when she was having her chemo. And I'm like, why do people do that? And thank God I haven't gone through it. And I hope I don't ever. And I'm glad you made it through. But explaining it to people who are, you know, dumb about it. Like, thank you for taking the time.
Of course. No, it's funny. Like. No, and I didn't either. I was that person that, like, when someone told me they had cancer, I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know what to say. I didn't even know what to do, right? I was the person that sent flowers. I was like, I guess that's what I should do, right? And so after I went through it, I was like, man, people just need to know. We need to demystify it a little bit more than we have, right? It's a big, scary word. There's no question about it. But there's also a practicality. Like, I longed to speak to women who had gone through it because they weren't, this is going to sound weird, they weren't sympathetic. They were like, ah, go do that. Right? They were like, you got this.
You get on such autopilot about how strong we are. And they have that saying, check on your strong friends, because
women are too
expected to just filter through all this. No, this is a big deal. Like,
it is a big deal. And I think, you need help, but you also need the encouragement. Yeah, those are fantastic, the exercise bands. And we have a wonderful Pilates instructor that has done surgery based, isn't that nice, right? To be like,
that's so cool.
Keep going. So doing exercises that you can do, if you had lower body surgery, you can do just the upper body ones and vice versa, right? You can do just the lower body, upper body, but you can do them all from in bed, basically. So it's good to keep, you know, to have something to do, to be like, oh, I accomplished that. Even if it was 10 reps with one of the bands, and the bands are all weighted differently, so it can be like the heavier one with more resistance or the lighter one with less resistance, but it's to like to get some pride back, to get some accomplishment back, right? Your body is going through it. It is rough. And by the way, also talk to your doctor. Don't do anything they don't want you to do, right? Don't start exercising in your bed when you're recovering, like, because we said so. Don't
check
do that,
on
right?
Your level
check
of
with
where
your
you're
doctor
at.
First.
Right.
Yes. Yep.
There's a champion I mean, here.
Oh,
there's a lovely little candy.
Oh, you know? Amen. And you know what? So this is somewhat controversial, but the idea is that, like, sugars can potentially, I'm going to say a big potentially, fuel cancers, right? So whenever I have read that in a few different places, and I was like, I don't want any sugar anywhere for myself. So I was like, but I still want, I have a sweet tooth, right? I still want something that's sweet. So that's a sugar-free lollipop from a company called Dr. John.
Refreshing.
Isn't it good? And they have really nice fruit flavors. They do whole sets in, like, passion fruits and guava and gorgeous stuff. Oh my God, you got to try this one. So
it's called Tom and John, just in time for Halloween.
Oh my God. Tom and Jenny's. This is a dentist and his wife. Tom and Jenny's, don't worry. And we put chocolate ones and caramel ones in our kit, but they are not sticky. It's not like they're going to do anything bad to your dental work, and they're sugar free. Aren't they so good? What? Yeah.
This is like Christmas.
I know.
Early.
I know.
Nelly, what is going on?
I love those. Seriously. It's the other point too. I was like, whenever you're going through this, I had a really hard time seeing anything with the pink ribbon. And I know like there are probably other women that are going to feel vastly different than that. I love the pink ribbon now, but I'm on the other side of it.
Did you feel triggered?
It did, like, in the very beginning. Like I got all the stuff that was like F cancer. And I was like, I haven't even said cancer with my name for more than a day. Like I don't have any relationship to this thing. Like it is really upsetting to see it and be reminded of it. So I had to, so I was like, you want things that are comforting. And that's really the goal for us. Just like the thing in your hand right now, the heartstone. We do a lot of amethyst heartstone. There's a little poem that's inside of there, but just having like a little talisman to carry with you to know, right? So you're thinking that people care about you, they're thinking about you, and that you can hold on to something. You've got a lot of time in doctor's offices when you're going through stuff like this. And so we wanted just something that would bring a little joy.
This is fantastic. You really are being the change that people want to see in the world.
Thanks.
These things, you're welcome. And I know science has proven that if you get your mental state in a certain way, you can prepare your body. And this is a catalyst to doing just that. I ran hurdles and I had to get my mental right if I wanted my body to be right.
Totally.
And I think it's the same thing here that you're doing, and you're a part of, you know, Kelly, you know, she was part of our Emmys week, which was a success. And there's more stuff coming. I'm actually going to do a little write-up and you guys will see the items in the kit and a post on our Instagram at Capricorius Media. Great. Kelly is also going to be a part of our Fuck Cancer. Sorry, amen. Sam. I think we can curse on this channel. It's Fuck Cancer. And she's going to be part of the swag bags. And she did a drop for us there. So that, thank you for making that happen. Because
of course,
if that was a perfect marriage for what you're doing, like if that's not for the event, I don't know what the event is, you know?
100%. No. And you know, we give out a lot of kits. And you know, we said, there's one, if you haven't gotten it, there's one coming. I know you're going to re-gift it, but like, you know, we do a lot for women that, you know, even if they're just, you know, needing something, like we really don't turn down folks. The goal of this company, sadly, which is the opposite of the startup, is not to really make money. It really is to do good in the world and to try and help women who are going through this. We see it on our Facebook page all the time. Like women get to points where, you know, there's so many situations going on, right? They may not have anyone. They may not have someone that can get to them quickly. They may feel completely alone. They may have lost someone in their lives or really just don't have anyone. And we have this little community now of women helping other women just the same way that they're doing in these kits, right? Of saying, listen, I've seen it. So many women, whenever we get one of those posts, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad. We write back, obviously, but I'm like, the women are coming, right? They're all like, we're here for you. We got you. That's amazing.
I'm loving this. And yes, the startup is about for profits, but also for about nonprofits. We have a charity, Charity Heart over here. And nice, so I'm nice. Loving. Yeah. And I know for a fact with all whatever I know for 44 years on this planet is that when you do good deeds like this, you come from a place that you've come to help give something maybe someone didn't have or what you find they might need, you're always going to be taken care of. The universe is always going to take care of you, Kelly. So you guys, find Care Kit, find Kelly. If you're looking to like for a write-off, we're entering our last quarter of the year and you're a business owner and you want to put some support forth. Where can people find you, make a donation, support, supply some of these items? Where
no, absolutely. It's just carakit.com, CARAKIT. We have a program that we're also running for October where myself and my neighbor, who is the best giver that I know, she took great care of me. We're going to, anyone can sign up for 30 minutes of our time, 8:30 every morning. Because we were inspired by, you know, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month starting in October, and also a lot of women that needed some help. And so we're just going to be there to listen. So if you have questions or want to talk to us or, you know, whatever it is, that's just our commitment of time. And because, again, that's the best that you can give to anyone going through something like this is some time. But we want to try and make this easy for people that might not be in the same city or state or just want to send some essentials, some things that they actually know will be useful and they can use, but also some joy, right? It's mind, body, spirit, all those things working together. And that's what we're trying to do.
You're just a box of joy, Kelly. I just love it. I love it. I love your vibe. Congratulations on your healing. Your hair is beautiful, darling.
Thank you so much.
She's got her hair back, y'all. give us your handles and give us your website.
Please. Yes. So it's www.carakit.com, C-A-R-A-K-I-T. And we are at Carakits with an S on Instagram and Facebook. So come visit us. We'd love to see you.
It's a pleasure to meet you finally on video.
Same to you. And yes.
Thank you. Stay tuned. There'll be more posts. And Kelly's kits will be finding their way in a lot of our events coming up. And we just love the energy. Thank you for what you do. And congratulations on everything.
Back at you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, guys, that's it. And have a good day. I'll see you next weekend. And what do I always ask you? What will you start up today? Be safe. See you.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Larray, only on LA Talk Radio.